ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो 17th चैप्टर डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम टेक्स्ट नंबर 29 एंड 30। शुश्रूषमाण आचार्यम् सदोपासीत नीचवत् यानशय्यासनस्थानैर् नातिदूरे कृतांजलिः। शुश्रूषमाण आचार्यम् सदोपासित नीचवत् यानशय्यासनस्थानैर् नातिदूरे कृतांजलि। शुश्रूषमाण आचार्यम् सदोपासीत नीचवत् यानशय्यासनस्थानैर् नातिदूरे कृतांजलिः। शुश्रूषमाणः एंगेज्ड इन सर्विस आचार्यम द बोनाफाइड स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर सदा ऑलवेज उपासिता वन शुड वर्शिप नीचवत एज अ हम्बल सर्वेंट यान बाय हम्बली फॉलोइंग बिहाइंड द गुरु व्हेन ही इज वॉकिंग शय्या बाय टेकिंग रेस्ट विद द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर Asana, sitting near the Guru to render service. Sthanai, by standing and humbly waiting upon the Guru. Na, not, ati, very, dure, far away, Kritanjalihi, with folded hands. While engaged in the spiritual mass, while engaged in serving the spiritual master, one should remain as a humble servant. And thus when the guru is walking, the servant should humbly walk behind. When the guru lies down to sleep, the servant should also lie down nearby. And when the guru has awakened, the servant should sit near him, massaging his lotus feet and rendering other similar services. When the guru is sitting down on his asana, the servant should stand nearby with folded hands, awaiting the guru's order. In this way, one should always worship the spiritual master. Next verse. Ebam ritto guru kule vased bhoga vivarjitaha vidya samapyate yavad vibhrad vratam akhanditam. Until the student has completed his Vedic education, he should remain engaged in the ashram of the spiritual master, should remain completely free from material sense gratification, and should not break his vow of celibacy brahmacharya. Purport. This verse describes the upakurvana brahmachari who enters grahastha ashram or family life after completing his Vedic education. The word evam vrittaha indicates that although one may eventually marry and become prominent in society as an intellectual or a politician or a businessman, during student life one must remain without false prestige as humble servant of the bona fide spiritual master. The Naishtiki Brahmachari who never marries it described in the following verse.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Before we begin our talk, we should offer one silent moment of prayer for His Grace Sripati Prabhu, who passed away in Vrindavan Dham yesterday at 10:20 p.m. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By the mercy of Sri Gurudev, our life can become successful. That is why no amount of material qualifications, no amount of material progress financially or in profession or education or degrees or influence, power, authority can bring any satisfaction to the soul. And the life becomes a waste, a chain of entanglement of many sufferings and enjoyments due to the previous activities and their reactions. And one doesn't have any scope to get relieved or getting out of the repeated cycles of birth and death, old age and disease that we are perpetually going through. There is no method of any yoga which actually can relieve one from the cycle of birth and death. Because all the yoga process is self-centered. It can give liberation, but again, if there is no engagement in positive service, again the cycle can be repeated. So there is a risk and danger in mukti also. Even after getting mukti, one is not engaged or inclined to engage oneself in service to Krishna and his devotees. There is a chance of re-entanglement again in these repeated cycles of birth and death. That is why Sri Gurudev, a bona fide Vaishnava Acharya who becomes our spiritual master, has a great 100% role in our life of getting liberated from these sufferings and getting engaged in Krishna's service. It is only by the mercy of spiritual master that one can hope oneself to not come back again in this world and remain with the Supreme Lord. Recently we had a long sessions of initiations, and these thoughts were churning in mind for many, many days as we were hearing the lectures and getting the news. So some thoughts were like this, that the relationship between a disciple and a guru is 100% transcendental. It is never based on any physical qualifications. You can see the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and his Gurudev Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a walking encyclopedia. You can just prick anywhere and the shlokas would come out. You know, everything was on tip of the tongue. You name the scripture and it was on the tip of the tongue. Such knowledge, such pragya, such pratigya, pratibha. And his guru was supposed to be his guru. He was supposed to go and take initiation from. He was in Indian language, Angutta Bhadar. That means totally illiterate. He can't even read and write also. What to speak of reading any scriptures and getting knowledge. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, after getting refused from his guru, Gaur Kishore Babaji, was willing to commit suicide. He was standing on some hillock and wanted to jump in the river of Ganga and commit suicide. What was his mood? He said, all these mountainous, huge piles of knowledge are of no value, are useless if there is no mercy of spiritual master. So then he was third time refused. He went on the mountain to jump, and then the spiritual master meant, why are you so keen? He said, what is the use of my knowledge if I don't have the mercy of a Sadguru? It is better to end this life with all that knowledge. Is that all that knowledge is going to serve me as a big burden to sink faster in the ocean of birth and death. It is not going to help. It's merely intellectual property. It doesn't get translated into spiritual realization unless there is an intervention of Gurudev with his mercy upon the disciple. So that time he embraced him and accepted him as disciple. We know Narottam Das Thakur. He was actually supposed to be king. He was a prince, Yuvraj, of Ketudigram kingdom. And on the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Vrindavan. And he met Lokanath Goswami Maharaj, was completely a mendicant. He had nothing to possess. And he approached him, that I want to become your disciple. And Loknathji Maharaj said, I can't make you a disciple. You are a prince. You are eloquent. You are a very affluent personality. I'm not qualified to become your guru. But he insisted. Finally, he was cleaning his stool and the area of plastic stool every single day, looking for some service. If he's not accepting me, let me serve him, because I need to serve my spiritual master to get some spiritual realization. It's a nice story we hear many times, you know. It's a wonderful story. It can move us emotionally. But try and imagine yourself in the early dark morning in the deep forest and bushes cleaning the stool of somebody just to get spiritual realization. They will still glorify Narottam Das Thakur, but it's very difficult to practically understand what he was doing actually. When Lokanath Maharaj found this, he was so overwhelmed. He embraced him. Why, Narottam? Why are you doing this? Narottam Das Thakur said, what is the use of my position? What is the use of my life? What is the use of my breathing if I don't have the mercy of you, my Gurudev? Please accept me. I am your servant. So, Loknathji Maharaj bathed him with his tears of love and appreciation. In return, Narottam Das Thakur also shed tears, rivers of tears. And on this spot, in the area, he was passing stool every day. There itself, there was initiation. Acceptance of Narottam Das as a disciple. So, you can imagine, this is the real mood of a disciple to understand. All my qualifications are useless unless I am connected with Guru. Then each and every qualification can be translated as spiritual property or Brahma Sampatti. Each and every qualification can be transformed into that, can be valuable, can be useful, can be worthy of acquiring them, keeping them with us, when they are utilized in connection to Guru, in service to Krishna. Because the connection between the spiritual master and the disciple is 100% spiritual. And 100% eternal, because spiritual activities are eternal, the soul is eternal. The relationship is not limited to this lifetime. In the material world, the highest relationship of love and position and service is supposed to be parents, mother basically. But even the parents, mother, father's relationship end with the end of this life and when the death comes. If they die first, that is severed, or we die first and they live, that is also severed. But the spiritual master and disciple relationship is eternal, for lifetimes after lifetimes after lifetimes. If the disciple comes back, the spiritual master also comes back on behalf of Krishna to deliver the soul, because he has taken the responsibility of that soul. So it is always explained that the disciple should not make the spiritual master come again for the sake of his deliverance. Should try to be perfecting his life in this lifetime itself, so that the Guru Maharaj doesn't have to come back again and again. It is explained in scriptures and history that the spiritual master came as a prostitute to deliver Bilva Mangal. And it is explained there again and again, one should not make spiritual master to come like this to deliver us. We should behave ourselves and not make him come down to that extent, because he is so much committed that he will go to any extent, take any form, take any life to come and deliver his disciple. And I have seen this and witnessed this, that when the disciple is passing away, how active the spiritual master becomes. We may feel that, oh, I never had any relationship, I never had private time, I never sat with him one to one, I never received any personal instruction for my spiritual upliftment. I feel disconnected and distanced from my spiritual master. But all these are only external concepts, because the commitment that the Guru has to his disciple is totally transcendental. It does not depend upon any external understanding of the relationship. With our body, mind, intelligence and emotions, we can never judge the transcendental nature of the relationship between disciple and Guru. It is that way transcendental. So that is why we were watching the newly formed disciples, newly become disciples, coming out with effulgent face. Maybe the highest of bliss that they have experienced till now is that bliss that they are experiencing then, at that moment of time. Everybody is having wholesale bliss, spiritual bliss, some different kind of happiness. At the same time, we know and we see that the spiritual master is endowed with one more mountain of karmas of many lifetimes together, not of this lifetime only. Many, many lifetimes of karma. The big mountain is loaded, then the next one is loaded, and such kind of hundreds of mountains are loaded, because of which the disciple is now effulgent and blissful. At the same time, this is happening simultaneously. If somebody is carrying, suppose, 200 kg, maybe difficult, 100 kilo of some burden, some sack on his shoulder, and is told to walk to seashore, and he is walking very slowly because it is very heavy, and suddenly at the corner somebody lifts this 100 kg and says, now you run. So he starts running. Something like that happens in spiritual life when you take initiation. So many lifetimes of burden of sins and good karma, bad karma we are carrying, and we are like sluggish into our movement towards the Lord, even if we are religious and faithful to the Lord. But Guru Maharaj takes the burden off and helps the disciple to run with full speed to Krishna. And he takes the burden. He is so powerful. With all that burden, he is also running with you. And we are unable to run with that burden. So he is taking the burden. Exactly, sometimes parents do that with children. When they are running to school, then it's getting late, then the father will lift all the bags and let the child run, and he also runs with the bag. That's what our spiritual master does for us. So the amount of gratitude that one must have for the spiritual master can never be limited, or can never be bounded by some limit. It has to be unlimited, because whatever one does, even if one lays his life down, suppose dies for his spiritual master, protecting his spiritual master, lays his life down, still one cannot claim that I have repaid the debt of my guru. Because body also is material, is a part of one journey, of a long journey of the soul. Even if we do that, it cannot claim any time. Even if time comes in future to lay our life down for our spiritual master, before that also we should not think that I am so great, that I have completed my indebtedness to my spiritual master. Because the way we are lost in the material world, at one unfortunate moment of time, we have left everything and come down here, maybe that may be the situation. But to reconnect ourselves back to Krishna and to go back to unite with Him is an impossible task, except the mercy of spiritual master. That is why what best one can do is to constantly, in a focused manner, engaged fully in service to Gurudev. We have to make it a point that after getting initiated, every breath of our life, every thought of our life, every single penny or rupee or currency that we have, wealth, every single knowledge that we have, and every calorie of energy that we have, should be only directed towards the feet of the Guru in service to Him. No other distraction should be there. 100% focus should be there in our thoughts, words and actions, in our energy, in our thought process, focused in service to Guru. But that will assure us, even during the moment of time when we are engaged like this, that we are liberated from the influence of material world. Even that time also, we are in the material world still. We are in this body still. If one is engaged in this way, kaya, vacha, mane, we are liberated from that moment of time only. Only time separates us from uniting physically with Krishna. So we have this opportunity. And who gives the opportunity to be jivan mukta while this life is going on? The spiritual master. Such transformation cannot be made by any process of yoga or any other thing in life, except by the mercy of the Lord, spiritual master. We have heard in the past from the acharyas and from spiritual master that the relationship of the spiritual master and disciple is not even limited to the material world that is under the Mahat Tattva, which is the creation of Mahavishnu. Because we may come back again and again, maybe another planets in this universe, or maybe different planetary system only, where Brahma has 100 heads maybe, or 1000 heads. We may travel to so many varieties of Brahmandas, with varieties of Brahma being in charge, and in the variety of lokas, in those variety of Brahmandas. But the relationship with the spiritual master doesn't only continue in those variety of universes where we take birth again and again, but also it continues when we go back to the spiritual world. The disciple may have a particular sthayi bhav in his constitution, the way he relates or the way rasa he has with Krishna. He's very deeply hidden and covered, but he has, one, everybody has that unique constitutional relationship with the Lord. And the spiritual master's constitutional position may be different than the disciple. Even to the extent the spiritual master's rasa may be Sakya rasa and the disciple's rasa may be Madhuri rasa. It's possible. It's quite possible. But even then, the relationship between the guru and disciple continues in the spiritual world also. Guru will see that he connects you with the right person in the spiritual world, and under his guidance only, the service to Sri Krishna in Goloka will continue even after reaching out there. To that extent, the relationship is eternal. We should know that. And when we go back to spiritual world, we may be in different body, not like this body. Prabhupada may not look like the way he is looking now. He may have transcendental body there. He is having. And our spiritual master also will have transcendental body there. But moment we come across, we know each other. Who are we and what is our relationship? Because it is transcendental. It is not based on that Sachidananda Vigraha, Deha, or based on this material body. It is totally transcendental. It is spirit to spirit. Atma to Atma. Like I remember His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj telling our dear, what is his name? Stoka Krishna Prabhu. He said, while holding his hand, that when you enter spiritual world, you will see Sridhar Swami, you will see Bhakti Tirtha Swami, you will see Tamal Krishna Swami. And they will not be in that, the bodies that you know of, you have seen them. But you will identify them immediately. You will see Prabhupada also. Which means, the identification is spiritual, it is not physical. So the miracle that the Guru can cause in a life of disciple is indescribable. When we say, Mukham karoti vachalam, pangum langayate girim, yat kripa tamaham bande, Sri Gurum dinatarinam, it's actually a fact. What spiritual master cannot do? We have seen most insignificant people have become the most eloquent devotees of the Lord, most advanced devotees of the Lord, giving shelter to thousands of people simply by the mercy of spiritual master. Look at Srila Prabhupada. What kind of people externally, today they are great Vaishnavas, but when they were there, when Prabhupada came there, what kind of situation they were in? Some acharyas have told me personally, I don't want to name them, they said that all of us were drug addicts, and all of us were womanizers, and all of us were doing everything against the four regulative principles. It was Srila Prabhupada who has lifted us and put us on such a transcendental pedestal. Today we can't even imagine those people and even think like that also. This person could have been, how he could have been doing all these things. Such a pure soul, such positivity and enriching consciousness he emits when we meet him. How can that person be like that? But it was a fact. When Prabhupada was asked, what is your miracle? Prabhupada pointed out to young boys and girls wearing dhoti kurta and sari. He said they were the most debauchees people. They were performing all sinful activities. You name them, they were performing them. And today they are first class Vaishnavas. They worship the deities. They chant the holy name. They eat the purest of food. They meet the purest of people. They do the purest of all services to the soul and to the society at large. That is a miracle. So from Mr. Nobody to the highest situation of life, the spiritual master can put us on that pedestal. So how grateful we have to be. The only thing, the only emotion we can cultivate and keep with us for spiritual master is gratitude. There is nothing else. Not that I was so mumukshu and so searching and so much inquisitive and I had that qualification, I had that desire in me, that's why I got spiritual master. We had no qualification. We have to convince ourselves. Even today, if we have some qualification, we should not feel that qualification is my achievement. It's only by the mercy of spiritual master. Those qualities and qualifications can come upon us. That is why we heard His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj telling, what is initiation? Initiation means adopting the mood of spiritual master 100%. What is the mood of a spiritual master? And that also explained that the mood of spiritual master is to share Krishna with everybody whom you meet. Be compassionate, be kind, be friendly to all the suffering souls and uplift them. And be selfless in our service when we uplift them and help them. Not be proud while doing that service to the suffering souls. To cooperate with the God brothers and God sisters. Srila Prabhupada also repeated his statement several times. Even last moment of life also he said the same statement. What is the mood of spiritual master? He is to see each and every God brother as representative of the spiritual master. Prabhupada said that to his disciples, you are worshipable for me because you are representative of my guru who have come to help me. The Guru's godbrothers also should be seen the same way, as much as Guru. And the godbrothers and godsister also should be respected and related to in the same mood. Because the spiritual master is relating to with that kind of respect. I may not have respect for you that much, but my spiritual master is respecting you so much. So I am, as a gentleman, supposed to respect you as much as my spiritual master respects you, being his disciple. This mood, when we adopt the mood of spiritual master, our life is successful from that moment only. There is nothing more. Cultivate that mood, continue that mood continuously, uninterruptedly. Then we are on the highest spiritual pedestal, humbly, not proudly, from that moment onwards. So how to adapt the mood of Guru? There is only one means. The whole spiritual life can be summarized in one line. That is, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikya. That's all. If one meditates on the words of Guru and simply follows those words, Kaya Vacha Mane, with all intelligence, all money, all time, all energy, all desire, then one has attained the perfection of life. Then all the anarthas and everything will be taken care of. Not by us. Some other agency will look after that. To make sure that everybody else is working on my welfare. All the devatas, all the prakruti, everything else. Make sure that by engaging in following the words of Guru. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Why Padma Vakya? Because that Vakya is not ordinary. That Vakya is not to make you progress materially in this world and make you famous or make you a minister in the government. That Vakya of Guru is to simply only uplift our soul towards the feet of Sri Krishna. The eternal position, constitutional position, natural position of the soul. That Vakya is only meant to deliver you to the feet of Krishna and the shelter of Krishna. To make you completely safe and secure. That is why it is Padma Vakya. So one has to offer and dedicate one's life to meditate on the instruction of Guru and to follow the instruction of Guru. Finally, after all that Guru Maharaj has done, who can match him in taking all our burden? Nobody can match him. So in reciprocation, at least we should meditate on his instruction and follow his instruction. And we may feel we never got any instruction. But the spiritual master is telling again and again, my instructions are in my lectures. Whenever I give lecture, it is a personal instruction for all my disciples. That is the instruction. And maybe if you just summarize the lectures, you may feel one lifetime is not enough to follow his instruction. And we say we don't have any instruction. We are so unfortunate. We are not so close. We never met him. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said that when we became disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we never expected any personal association of Srila Prabhupada. There were hundreds and thousands of them, but nobody was in that mood that I should get association of Prabhupada like His Holiness Samalkrishna Maharaj is getting or His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj is getting. No one felt like that. No one felt that competitive or any kind of competitive mood. They were simply content and happy in doing what was told to them to do. To the extent, Srila Prabhupada had told all his disciples to follow the temple president as much as himself. You are living in this Toronto temple or in New York temple, temple president is everything for you. He is my representative and follow. And the disciples followed those instructions in such a way that they never met Prabhupada in lifetime again to consult anything or cross question. But followed verbatim the instruction of the temple president. It's something very difficult in today's world. Everybody is so, by nature, in advancing Kali Yuga, everybody is so challenging in nature. They want to question everything. And then they question, argue with spiritual master also. But it is explained in scripture that one should never argue with spiritual master. One should never try to instruct him or suggest him something which is we think we know the best, unless asked for. So that kind of surrender was exhibited by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They never demanded anything. There is nothing actually, unless Guru wants you, there is nothing hidden into the personal association. What the real power of spiritual master's mercy is hidden in his instruction. And that vani of spiritual master is eternally available. Even the spiritual master has left this world. That is why Prabhupada was staying in America alone. When he said, I never felt alone. I always, constantly, I was never not with my Guru Maharaj. I was always with my Guru Maharaj. And what was the thing which made him always be with Guru Maharaj? His 100% efforts in following the instruction of his spiritual master. Like gopis were with Krishna physically all the time in Vrindavan, or whenever they were, after twilight to sunrise. But when Krishna left for Mathura and Dwarka, they were with Krishna millions of times more than they were with Krishna physically when he was there with them. Everybody felt that intimacy of bhava association with the Lord when Krishna was physically in Mathura, Dwarka. And Uddhav could feel that I am with Krishna here in Dwarka, in Mathura, so close that no one can be more close than me. And for me, there is no more achievement to be more close to Krishna than what I am today. But his realization was, when he met gopis, that I am very far from Krishna, and these people, these gopis are much, much closer than me to Krishna. So he went back and he had the opportunity again to be with Krishna like he was before. But he left that being with Krishna and went to Vrindavan to become blade of grass, to achieve the dust of the gopis' lotus feet. To be close to Krishna the way they were. So what is the closeness? It's spiritual closeness. It's not physical closeness. And that spiritual closeness is available to each and everybody of us, however insignificant, even materially we are, by just being in contact with the Vani of Guru and trying to follow the Vani of Guru. Like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was actually denied to go to Vrindavan. They did not even told to go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada sent instructions, come and meet me. These are my last days. And they were not told only because there were so many services in the Vrindavan. So what happened? Srila Prabhupada came in the dream of His Holiness Radhanath Swami every single day. And the most menial of all menial services which he aspired to do to Prabhupada, like massaging his feet, washing his clothes, serving him food, being with him intimately. All those things happened in the dream. And when you do something with spiritual master in the dream, it's not a dream, it's a reality. So you are not deprived of anything. If you feel you are externally deprived of anything, on the spiritual level, you will be replenished in millions of times. If one has that mood, understanding of the spiritual connection. Because he was engaged in following the instruction of Prabhupada to follow the authority in Vrindavan, spiritual master gave him such intimate association before he passed away from this world. It's a very unique thing. You have to be there to understand what is exactly happened in those dreams and what exactly is felt when this happened. And somebody who eats food when he's hungry, how he feels, it can't be described in words how he feels when he's satisfied with the food that he's received. Similarly, one who follows the instruction of spiritual master and receives the mercy of spiritual master and feels blissful, that bliss cannot be explained in words or any poetry, any eloquence. It is just a feeling of the heart. You can express to a certain extent, but 100% one can never explain. That is why let us understand the gravity and the transcendental nature of our relationship with our spiritual master. We may be far away physically. We may be not on the same planet. Guru may leave or we may leave. But the relationship always continues. The spiritual master makes sure that the relationship continues. Because we are not in power to keep the continuation from our side within our capacity. But the spiritual master has the capacity to remain connected with you based on your desire, lifetimes after lifetimes after lifetime, from planets to planets. Let us have that faith. This relationship with spiritual master is not for this lifetime. And next life again we get initiation, again we connect with the spiritual master. It is there only. There may be a formality of connecting again through initiation ceremony, but the relationship is eternal. That is why one should become, by one's behavior, an asset to spiritual master, a glory to spiritual master. Because spiritual master is taking so much burden off from us. We should understand actually what happens at initiation. Let us begin with that statement. Then we can talk further how to become glory to spiritual master. At the time of initiation, Diksha Kale, the spiritual master takes all the previous burden from us. In one sense, he cleans all the slate. But the life in the material world is such that immediately new account is being created. Because when we breathe, we are killing bacteria and we are stepping on some living entities and we think bad and we do bad and so many things we do. And that burden which we are creating afresh now is supposed to be cleansed by the chanting of the holy names every day. That is why we have to chant attentively every single morning. We have to make sure that yesterday's account is nullified by the holy name which the spiritual master has given us through initiation. We chant attentively and nullify everything. To the degree we are attentive to the chanting of the holy name, to that degree we get nullified. And if we are not attentive to the chanting of the holy name on that particular day, whatever is not nullified is going to be shared by spiritual master. So daily we are burdening our spiritual master. And additionally, we are committing offenses, which are on different category than the karma. Karma is happening, not chanted properly, remaining behind as a balance and shared by spiritual master. And offenses are separately created by us by behavior towards other devotees or towards Krishna or towards our whatever. They are separately burdening our spiritual master. So we have to make sure that two things, that we chant attentively every single day, not to burden our spiritual master, and not to commit any offenses or create any offensive record to burden our spiritual master. Because I am reading so many messages from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. He is writing openly and clearly all messages, public messages, that I am suffering only because of the mistakes and offenses of my disciples. And it is said that because of these messages he gave very clearly, so many disciples have reformed and so many disciples have, maybe come back to the normal proper behavior of a disciple in form of more commitment and more dedication to the instruction of spiritual master. So it's not that he's making some dramatic dialogues to stir you. It's a fact. When Prabhupada said so many times, and Prabhupada used to fall sick so many times, and he said, I'm not suffering because of my sins. I'm suffering because of my disciples' sins, which I'm accepted. So why spiritual master falls sick after initiation? Because he's accepting our sins. And the suffering is there. To a certain extent, we Brahmins also, when we perform Agnihotra, we experience that some exchange of karma and how burdensome it is, and how depressing and discouraging and it is. I've experienced that, and I've discussed with fellow Brahmin Purohits also. So we are not responsible for anybody when we do Agnihotra also. But still there's an experience. And what to speak of being responsible and taking officially and willingly all the karmas? How much suffering is there? Even in one lifetime, how much we are suffering because of our karmas. What to speak of collective karmas of everybody going to one person and his level of suffering. So each and every disciple must be very cautious that each and every wrong thought and word and action that we are performing is directly affecting our spiritual master. And that way we become burdened to spiritual master. So this relationship and this event of initiation is a very serious and grave commitment. It's not something ordinary. Then one can take it lightly. I also have a photograph now. I can call him as my guru and I can tell people I'm a disciple of so and so. I've got anugraha of spiritual master. That's what we speak in India, the language. I've received anugraha of my spiritual master. But it's a big responsibility. If he's so kind upon us, can't we be kind upon him and show a compassion, at least sympathy, empathy to him by not burdening him further, by not doing something which is going to affect him. He is still okay. He is not going to question you. He is still giving you a long rope to come over your anarthas. Okay, take your time, my dear. Take your time. I am here with you. I will help you. But we can't take lifetimes together because he is giving long rope to us. So let's take a full advantage. Have simultaneously nations also and spiritual life also. And like, you know, have two rail tracks simultaneously. What's wrong? We have such a big support. Let us now, you know, enjoy the material world also to a certain extent. Let's be practical and also be spiritual. So many devotees I know, I feel so pain at heart that they have given up chanting after initiation. We have, as counselors, hard time to convince them to come back to 16 rounds. And they have millions of excuses how they cannot do so. Now family is important, now children are important, now business is important, now that is important, that is important. We just cannot do it. But they don't, even we have told how much you are burdening your spiritual master by not doing so, that you committed to him and Agni and to Lord and in front of Vaishnavas. But still, those devotees don't feel encouraged to do so. It's so painful situation. I am sometimes, many times wondering, is there a process of de-initiation? And there must be, I think. But I don't know scripturally how what is the situation. At least the spiritual master can get officially disconnected from such kind of burdens, accepting every day, willfully, willingly transferred to spiritual master. But the spiritual master is so kind that he doesn't mind, he keeps on accepting the burden, keeps on following you, keeps on following us and continuing till the last, he never gives up anybody. You know, there is nothing like hopeless situation for spiritual master as far as disciple is concerned. He never gives up. And because he doesn't give up, we have hope. Because we all are very much qualified to be given up. But he never puts cross on us. Okay, this is crossed. Fine, forget it. This is good. Keep this. As counselors, we can do that. We can delete our counselees. Find another one. Keep some counselees who are obedient. But the guru doesn't do that. So we have to think very deeply. And try to become an asset and a glory to spiritual master. There's one more thing was explained last week in many lectures, that we have to become an exemplary devotee. And the people who watch you should ask you, who is your spiritual master? How wonderful you are. How great you are. Who is your spiritual master? Like a school, in somebody, some school boy does us something bad, some mischief. Then we ask, whose son is he? Who are the parents? Let me call the parents. So where the bill goes? To the parents. The boy is performing something wrong in the school and the bill goes to parents. Did you teach all these things at home? This is your culture? This is what you are training at home? Your child is doing this? Are you aware of that? This is your responsibility that your child is behaving bad. Similarly, when a disciple does something wrong or misbehaves, it goes directly to spiritual master. Not only bad name or defamy, but even from karma point of view also. So we have to become exemplary in our sadhana, in our behavior. The most important is behavior which is based on sadhana, because behavior is the hallmark or the acid test of our sadhana. A sadhana is wonderful, then the behavior changes accordingly. The nature changes accordingly. Guru has taken away the karma, good karma, bad karma, and ignited the small spark into fire of spiritual life, you know. What is our swabhava? Swabhava is made by past bad karmas, past good karmas, and our desires. Together, in essential form, is our swabhava. And it says swabhava cannot change. Yes, materially swabhava cannot change. That is true. But spiritually, when spiritual master accepts you, he is cleaning good karmas, he is cleaning bad karmas, and he is transforming your desires by guiding you. So your swabhava changes. We are crooked people, we change to good people. Because of only spiritual intervention by spiritual master. And if you do sadhana on top of that very nicely, then that transformation, what Guru Maharaj has done in your desires, manifests into a very wonderful exemplary behavior. And that exemplary behavior affects everybody, whomever you meet. and transfers your guru's spiritual energy to those who meet you. And they get transformed in turn. This is the formula. So we all have to become like that. To do our sadhana and behave in such a way that everybody should ask, whose disciple are you? And all the glory goes to the spiritual master. That kind of life is, Prabhupada said, that I wish I have one moon than having millions of stars. Because millions of stars do not give light in the night of darkness. But one moon can give, show you the passage, how to go ahead, show you the road of the destiny. So we all have to become moon-like in the assembly of disciples. Not to become proud because we are moon-like, just to not burden our spiritual master and add glory to his life. And not make his effort of taking us back to Godhead a burdensome effort, a painful effort. Let us make our spiritual master, make it easy for him to take us back to Godhead by our endeavor, what he expects us to do. And that is what real spiritual life is. Real spiritual life is not wearing nice dhoti and kurta and tilak and big kanti malas and, you know, talk like devotees and keep big long shikhas and talk that language of spirituality. That is okay, that's very good. Better than wearing something nonsense. But the real spiritual life is this. Every word, every action that will please spiritual master. Even what we learn from our dear Madhavananda Prabhu in our hospital is that whenever conflict comes, when we are in the situation to solve the conflict, we should think what our spiritual master would be doing in this situation. What would please him? That kind of counsel we should give, even in conflicts. The conflict can be within yourself, or conflict can be amongst people whom you are guiding. We have a solution to that. But we should always, what is adopting the mood of Guru is, we should always try to give a solution which the Guru would be giving otherwise, when he, if you would have been in the situation. That is another dimension of understanding. That we may conduct our life, even in a professional life also. We should conduct our professional life also in the mood of our spiritual master, what he would be doing in that situation. Every single spiritual realization comes by the grace of Guru. And so many times we give lectures in so many places, you know. And so many times during those lectures we speak such things that we have never imagined or thought or read anywhere. So I immediately write those things down in my notebook, what I only spoke a couple of minutes ago. Because I have got 100% conviction that a spiritual master only speaks as per the audience and their inquisitiveness. You offer yourself as an instrument in the hands of Guru before you begin your lecture, and then the spiritual master uses you as an instrument to speak through you, to enlighten the audience. So one should never feel that I was such a eloquent and such a far-fetched expert orator. Every single thing that we have, which we think we have, is only by the mercy of spiritual master. And when we are sincere in obeying our order of the order of our spiritual master, then spiritual master bestows us with choicest, priceless, amulya spiritual realizations, which will further enrich and lead your spiritual path gloriously, successfully. I think we end here. Topic is very big and deep, but to summarize, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Kori Aikya. This is the secret of success in spiritual life. And every molecule of energy, thought, wealth, education that we have should be directed in service to spiritual master. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we would like to attempt to answer. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ब्रह्म संपत्ति।